Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Henley Mortgage Fund. $1,000 a month off your home loan for 2 years. All backed by Henley's $7 billion parent company. New Zealand versus Australia on SEN Test Cricket.
SEN Test Cricket for Henley Homes, Adam Collins, Barrett Sundaresan, in the middle of Hagley Oval, the second Test match between New Zealand and Australia beginning here in Christchurch on Friday. We've just been speaking to the two captains, Tim Southee and Pat Cummins. News from the press conference, Australia, as expected, unchanged. They're always unchanged when they're winning. As for New Zealand, they're making at least one change and one debutante as well.
Yes, one change is confirmed. Ben Sears comes in for Will O'Rourke. Tall, quick, can hit 150 kph is what Tim Southee told us. He's played a handful of T20s. But just like they were the day before the Wellington Test, undecided about Scott Kugelein / Mitchell Santner. All I'll say, Adam, is the Australians, just the way they've been training, they feel that Mitchell Santner will play. They've been facing a lot of Daniel Vittori tossing balls, which they did not do before Wellington. But yeah, that's the confirmed move that Ben Sears will be making his test debut.
The surface they're marking up right behind us, actually, as we speak. I mean, it's got that normal New Zealand green tinge to it, but nowhere near as pronounced as last week. 12 millimetres of grass, for what it's worth. There was 16 at the Basin Reserve to begin the series. But this has been a kind of pitch in the 10 years they've been playing test cricket here, where if you bat first, you can bat big as well.
You can, and you can score very quickly as well. The Wellington outfield, everything about batting in Wellington seems more difficult, doesn't it? But Christchurch, as we all know, the last time Australia played here, Brendan McCullum made that 100. But just historically, there have been a lot of quick runs scored here. And both teams can do with some runs. I mean, yes, Australia made 383 in the first innings. That was purely due to Cameron Green's 174 not out. And then they collapsed in the second inning. New Zealand not even getting to 200 across both innings. So they can do with the quick outfield. They can do with the ball coming on and not doing too much sideways, which is what the curators have said this pitch will offer. So that's good. I mean, that brings the batters more into the game as well in that sense. But yeah, cricket in Christchurch is fabulous, isn't it, Adam? Just the Hagley Ovals are pretty. It's scenic in a different way to the Basin Reserve.
Yeah, it's beautiful here with the grass banks all the way around, with the exception of the pavilion in there tonight, I should say. There'll be veterans from the 1974 Test match in Christchurch, where New Zealand beat Australia for the first time. So we'll be in attendance of that tonight as well. On the Australian team, just to specifically go into the fast bowling group, at the beginning of the summer, Pat Cummins said to us that, look, it'd be great for us all to play every test match, but it's so unlikely with workloads and injury management and all the rest of it. The big three, Cummins, Stark, Hazlewood, fronting up for test number 7 on the trot, and Mitchell Stark just one wicket away from the great DK Lilly's 355, another milestone this week.
Remarkable feat for this fast bowling group. Not just the 7 test stretch, but just the number of test matches they play together. And there's this unspoken bond between them, isn't there? I mean, not only do they come from the same state and have played a lot of junior cricket together as well, but just what they've been able to do for Australia. Arguably the greatest triumvirate of fast bowlers the world has ever seen, or test cricket has ever seen. And yeah, I thought Mitchell Stark would have already got into that milestone. Obviously got close to it at the Gabba. So look, there have been some scenarios where Australia have been 1-0 up, and second test, it's been the fatigue that has got to their bowlers. I don't think that'll be the case here, because last week around, yes, the fast bowlers did their damage. It was Nathan Lyon who really spun New Zealand out. So it's a great physical feat for them to be doing this, but also kind of tells you the trust that they have between the three of them.
And also a chance to win a series away from home. It is rare. They've only won one series away from home since they did so here 8 years ago. That was in Pakistan back in 2022. So yes, two test match series, a lot of focus on those precious world test championship points. All right, and that's enough from us, I think. Adam Collins, Barrett Sundaresan, we'll be here for every single ball of the test match starting. We're on air an hour before play. Play begins 11 o'clock local time. Cannot wait. All our coverage before the test match for Henley Homes. See you then. Pat Cummins, thanks for joining us on SEN Test Cricket ahead of the second test here at Hagley Oval in Christchurch. Let's start. Unchanged team from last week?
Yeah, same 11. Yep.
That must feel good, especially with the three big quicks yourself, Mitch Stark and Josh Hazlewood, getting through all seven test matches in the Aussie summer. That would have been scarcely believable a couple of months ago.
Yeah, spot on. Feels like every test match, there's always discussions leading in. Someone's doing a fitness test or whatever it is, whereas we've had very little of that this summer, which is, a lot of fortunate luck and some good work by the physio teams, but everyone's in a great place.
And more broadly speaking, the longevity. Someone like Mitchell Stark is now one wicket away from the great DK Lilly. When he presumably overtakes him this week, that'll be another marker for this group that's been so brilliant over the last decade.
Yeah, it's huge when you think about that. And Stark, he's a left armer, it's a bit different. For many years he's kind of always had some conjecture over his form or whatever place in the team. He's just been fantastic. He's just about the first name you write down on the team sheet every week. So that'd be huge. He's been fantastic all summer.
But I think the last couple of years you've been in a position where you're 1-0 up in two-match series, and Sri Lanka and West Indies have come back to level the series. Is that part of the challenge of playing these two-match series? I know there's the motivation of the World Test Championship, but just to kind of get yourself up for a second test in that sense?
I don't know about that. I think any away test match in particular is really hard. But any test match is hard. So we've obviously had an incredible record. But a couple of the games we have lost has been in some of those smaller series that you kind of wish you had another crack at. But no, boys are hugely motivated, and we know this is our last one for quite a few months. So it's one big last push.
And you just spoke about how the fast bowling pack has played together seven test matches, but and I know he's been around for a long time now. Just the luxury of having Nathan Lyon, like regardless of what the pitch is doing or not doing.
Yeah, it's amazing. Basically, all conditions, you lock him in for 30 overs a day, and if it has anything in his favour, you know, it's probably going to be a match winner. You know, 5 or 6 wickets, even bowling to the tail. I think he gives real stability. It's really hard to play, so it's a real luxury. I absolutely love being able to call on him. No matter what the wicket is, it doesn't really matter. You know, he's going to do a great job.
And just once more on the fast bowling attack, Mitchell Stark said yesterday about how there's this unspoken word between all of you. Like, you just know what you're doing. Does it also kind of get into, like, you can spot if there's something that Mitchell Stark's not doing or doing, or similarly him with you and Josh Hazlewood?
For sure. Yeah, you're always talking about different plans and, you know, if they're trying something and if it's going to come off or not. Yeah, it's just always lots of conversation. You never feel like you're going out there trying to come up with your own game plans. It's always a bit of a team effort. And, I think Mitchie's right. It's so much, we know each other so well and each other's game so well that there's a lot that doesn't need to be said. I absolutely love playing alongside them. They're awesome.
And you, just one more from me. You've always spoken about, like, everybody having to be themselves, like independent and be an individual. But you also spoke after the last test about being ruthless as a batting group. Is that what there is a bit of focus around leading into this test match?
Yeah, of course. I think, you know, a lot of our conversations are always around about players being themselves and playing their own style. But yeah, cricket's all about partnerships when you're batting. Working together, and that's been a lot of the focus going to this week. And it's, you know, last week a couple of guys had absolutely amazing games and took the game away from New Zealand. Hopefully got a few more of them this week.
A lot of attention over the last couple of months about two test match series and whether in the future World Futures program and the World Test Championship, whether all test series should be played over three matches. Are you in that camp as well?
It's a hard one. I mean, it's obviously not my job. Ideally, in a perfect world, three test matches makes sense, I think. But the schedule's pretty condensed, so how that actually slots in is someone else's job. Pretty tough, I'd say.
One of the other solutions as part of that that's been cited is potentially having four-day test cricket, extended days to give a bit more flexibility in the schedule. From a playing perspective, do you see that as something that would be you'd be open-minded to?
Probably not, to be honest. As soon as there's rain, I think those four-day test matches are pretty hard to then get results, and you're suddenly talking over 100 overs a day for bowlers. So I think it changes the game significantly if you do that.
Just on the surface out in the middle, have you had a chance to take a look as yet? And if so, your first thoughts?
I had a look yesterday. It looks pretty green. So as expected, it's always a, you know, I think to the eye looks really green, but plays pretty well on this ground. So expecting much of the same this week.
Pat Cummins, thanks for joining us. Good luck for the week ahead.
Great, thank you.
Yeah, I guess it's pretty special. Probably thinking more over the coming days. But yeah, to do it alongside Kane, a good mate, one of our greatest players to play the game. We shared our 50th Test match together. We shared plenty of good times, plenty of not so good times together. And I'm sure this week will be something we'll reflect on for many years to come. Like you said, we've played age group cricket, played for Northern Districts together, and been very fortunate for the last 10, 12 years, 13 years to play all three formats for New Zealand together. So couldn't think of a better person to step on that field with tomorrow.
Can't much talk about Kane, probably not, can't so much speak for Kane's case, but yourself, you know, continue to play international cricket, particularly Test cricket.
Well, hopefully Kane goes for as long as he possibly can, the way he's playing. Yeah, I think no one's getting any younger, but the I guess the desire to train, work hard away from the game is still there. It's an absolute honour to do what we do and represent our country and so I still love that. I still wake up every morning hoping to go out there and do people proud and put performances on the board. So as long as that's still there, then I guess yeah, if you can. And live to those standards and be there, then.
I'm not sure if it's taken the gloss off your week at all or not, but as Black Cats captain, what's your response to Ross Taylor's claims that he'll win his retirement is forced?
Much like Kane mentioned yesterday, I don't think anyone's forced to retire. We had Wags had his time in Wellington where He had a great week. We saw how much it meant to the people that were there when he was on the field. It was awesome to be out there and experience that for one more time. He's been such a warrior for us for so many years. And as far as the group go, there wasn't a dry eye in the changing room afterwards. We had a great evening with him. He's been a massive part of us as a group and seemed. At peace with his decision and where he is at his career. So yeah, we had a great week celebrating him as a cricketer and as a person. And yeah, it was a really special week to be part of.
So just to clear things up, how was your relationship with Neil
Wagner? Well, I think Wags over the years he's come into the side, moved over from South Africa, won us all over. And I said it last week. I think every player that ever played with Neil Wagner has some sort of love for him. He's become a great mate of mine over the years, and I'm sure he will be a great mate, not only a bowling partner, but a great mate for many years to come. Yeah, I haven't had a lot to do with Ross since he's retired, but yeah, he's obviously a great of our game, yeah, haven't had too much to do with him post cricket. Yeah, he's entitled to his opinion. Everyone's entitled to their opinion. He's all I'm worried about, and all I have been worried about is the guys in the changing room. We're the ones that are going to go out there and do the work. Like every Test match, our focus has been on what we're trying to do. There's always outside noise. There's always people with opinions, which I guess makes what we do that comes with the territory.
Sorry, guys, about a huge hang up.
Ken said yesterday that when he came into the side, he was so raw, straight off, never been to a gym before. So, can you take us through how raw you were and how test cricket and everything was for you back then?
Yeah, I think what happened was 19, just got back from the Under-19 World Cup. Yeah, hadn't spent a lot of time in the gym in the lead up to that. It was sort of rugby in the winter. Few runs in between and cricket in the summer. So yeah, I think just young, learning, still learning the art of cricket. I hadn't played a lot of first class cricket, so yeah, it all came pretty quickly. As far as back as I can remember, all I wanted to do was play for New Zealand, and to have that come so quickly, it was yeah, it was pretty special. Things weren't always smooth through those early stages, but yeah, I guess just the when you're that young, you're a bit naive to everything, and you just go in and play with that freedom, and you've got no real experience to fall back on. So it was pretty surreal being so young and being able to, I guess, achieve what was a dream as a kid.
And just, you know, for a fast bowler to play 100 tests, it's a physical side of it, but you always seem to have, or at least in recent years, divide opinions in your own country. Like, there seems to be people who seem to love you a lot, and there's a lot of criticism as well. Mm-hmm. And how has it been dealing with that, especially, you know, the last few years, on your way to 100 tests?
Oh, I think you deal with a lot of stuff throughout that long in your career. There's plenty of good times, plenty of bad times as well, and I guess people shape their opinions on you on performances, what they see on the TV. But I just, yeah, every time I set foot on the field, you want to do your country proud, your friends, your family proud. So I think just trying to give it everything you got, and not only what you see on the field, but there's a lot of work that goes in behind the scenes, like you say, to play 100 test matches, and the work that goes in behind the scenes is quite often the stuff that sort of gets you through. But yeah, like I said earlier, people are entitled to their decisions. And I guess when you finish your career and hang your boots up, you hopefully look back and hopefully you've made people and your country proud of what you've been able to achieve.
Tim, have you settled on your 11? And if not, what are the last decisions to press through?
Yeah, again, sort of 10 out of the 11. Can confirm that Ben Sears will make his debut. But it's just around that four seam or a spinner. Hopefully get it right this week.
Tell us a bit more about your experience with Ben. What has he been to the
side? Yeah, obviously had a little taste of international cricket in the other formats. Offers real pace. Saw him clock 150 earlier in the summer in a T20 against Bangladesh. So excited to see what he's got at test level. He's a tall fella. He's got pace. He's got something about him. So obviously the job that Willow Rourke did in the couple of test matches he played, again another a tall guy with a bit of pace and a bit of skill about him. So excited to see what Ben's got. Special time for him as well. He's had a taste in the other formats, and it's always a special time for someone to make their test debut.